On this episode of the State of TMF, we're hitting the trail. The audit trail, that is. And our experts are leaving no stone unturned along the way as they dive into audit trail reviews, what they should contain, and how to present them to inspectors. The State of TMF is officially in session. Let's get into it.
I want to thank everyone for joining us on our now seventh State of TMF podcast. Leaving no stone unturned, the TMFer's guide to audit trail review. As you can see, I am not your regular host, Oliver Pierce. My name is Aviv Luke Bell, and I am replacing Oliver, who is on his way back from the ASQ conference in Denver, which is a quality conference. I'm going to kick things off. And of course, one of the obvious questions that comes up when we talk about audit trails is, what is an audit trail? And according to the MHRA, and I'm going to read this off the MHRA website, the audit trail is a form of metadata containing information associated with actions related to creation, modification, or deletion of GXP records. Now, pretty easy to understand, but perhaps, Donatella, you can give us a little more insight into exactly what the audit trail is.
Yeah, yes. Thank you so much, Aviv. I think that, yes, this is a very, you know, helpful definition in terms of what is an audit trail. And I think that if you ever look to any regulation, any guidance, you will find different, let's say, approach and perspective of a definition of audit trail. But basically, this is an audit trail. But I think that, you know, what can better define an audit trail is that the audit trail is the storyteller of a storyteller. I think that for those who are familiar with Montrium, we like to define the TMF as the storyteller of the clinical trial. And basically the audit trail of your TMF will be the storyteller to tell you what is going on in your TMF. So it's a, I like to, let's say, define the audit trail as the storyteller of the storyteller. I hope this, let's say, give a better clarification of what an audit trail is. But definitely, if you have a look to regulation and guidance, you will find lots of these very long and detailed definition.
That makes sense. It sounds like the audit trail is really the narrator of the story. And, you know, before we jump to the second slide, I want to remind our audience, of course, there is a question and answer section. So if there's any questions that you want to put to Donatella, please feel free to put that in the Q&A section, and we'll do our best to address those either live during today's podcast or following today's session. So I'm going to move on here, Donatella, and you tell me if I'm on the right slides just to make sure that we're presenting the right thing. So go ahead.
No, I was mentally to tell that definitely when it comes to audit trail, again, there can be different definition if you have a look to guidance and regulatory requirement, but there are some key components that definitely will appear in every definition, in every explanation of what an audit trail is. And we have the timestamps. So basically each entry in the audit trail is timestamped, which means that, you know, the date and the time of when the action, the event occurred is very important and is tracked in the audit trail. The user identification. So the audit trail identify who did the action, who did the event. So who is responsible for that particular action tracked in the audit trail. And this is to ensure more accountability. And then obviously the action description. So in the audit trail, we are going to verify and to see what is the action or the event that occur. For example, a login or maybe a system configuration or maybe a document that was deleted. So we see exactly the action that took place in your TMF.
Okay, that makes sense. So we have all of this data, all of this information. I guess my next question would be, and I think a question a lot of us have is, how do we then use this information? How do we make it so that we can gain active intelligence from an audit trail?
Yeah, so I think that obviously we are here because one of the major and now very challenging regulatory requirements is audit trail review. So it's not just sufficient to know what is an audit trail. It's not sufficient to have a TMF with an audit trail. We need to review this audit trail. And what I see working with company is that majority of people doesn't really understand what does audit trail review mean. So what do I have to do? And I think that the easiest way to, you know, to explain you what is an audit trail review is to make a comparison with a very famous game, Find the Intruder. You know, my daughter, she's 5 years old, and in September she will start the elementary school. And one of the exercises that she's doing right now is, you know, some games with the teachers and this Find the Intruder. So basically, here we have, some very, say, some data, but there is something that is, I would say, not so equal to all the data. There is something that...
I noticed it right away.
I don't know if she noticed. There's something that doesn't match, you know, with the overall picture, I would say, no? So maybe take a look and then maybe we can go to next slide to discover if there is something that, again, it's like an intruder in our overall view. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think facial hair is the one that is distinguishing between what we should have and the intruder. But I'll leave that to you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, audit trail review is really, is like a game or to find an intruder. I mean, you really need to detect that anomaly, that things that is like an alert in your TMF management routine that, you know, give you a sign that something is not equal to the standard, is not compliant with your processes. So it's something very, you know, important to do in your daily activities for TMF management, because it's so important that we obviously ensure data integrity. It's a pillar, I think, in GCP compliance and in TMF to have the ability to ensure data integrity. We need to provide data that are reliable. And so obviously the audit trail review will help us to understand if in those data there are any anomaly, anything that, you know, was not done in compliance with the regulatory requirement or maybe with my protocol or with my study plan. So it's a really important tool that you can use to support the data integrity of your clinical trial. It's a tool, it's a way for regulatory compliance, because we will look, we will see in the next slides that definitely all the competent authority are asking for audit trail review. So basically we need to implement an audit trail review process to be in compliance with those requirements. And it's a tool to support inspection readiness and quality assurance, because we want to have our TMF inspection ready at any time, and we want to ensure a very good story when it comes to an inspector. So definitely audit trail review is a methodology that can apply to our TMF to ensure quality and inspection readiness. And it's a way to mitigate risk. We talk a lot about risk-based approach, apply risk to TMF management. Definitely audit trail review is a step of that process, because you can identify risk and you can mitigate that risk before an inspection occurs. I think that also, you know, support transparency and accountability. One of the biggest benefit, but also, let's say, fear in moving to an eTMF is that definitely you've got more transparency. You can't hide anything else to an inspector, because they will know when you have uploaded a document. They will know if you your document fail a QC. So there's a lot of transparency, and audit trail review definitely support this principle of transparency and accountability, which is, again, a regulatory requirement. And I think that last but not least, an audit trail review is also important to ensure a continuous improvement, because we want to support quality, and we need to verify every time that our processes are in compliance with regulatory requirement, with our SOP, with our expectation. And so it's important to verify if there is any gaps, any anomaly in our processes, in our TMF, that can cause a lack of quality. And so it can be, you know, taken as a source for continuous improvement for our TMS management.
Okay, yeah. And so for those that, you know, are listening to what you're saying and saying, well, you know, this does seem like a very challenging process of something, you know, that needs to be learned in order to put in place. You know, what would you say are, you know, some of them, you talked about continuous improvement of the processes. Can you maybe step into that a little bit more? What are the most immediate things that we can feel from putting these processes in place?
Yes, absolutely. So obviously, when you identify, you know, some anomalies during the audit trail review, what you can do is absolutely to develop immediately the corrective action that obviously will fix the issue, and then develop the preventive action that will support that improvement, that improvement of the process that is needed to avoid that, you know, anomaly or deficiency to occur again in the future. Because at the end, this is, you know, the goal and the purpose of any quality check. You want to fix the issue, obviously, if you identify any gaps in your trial master file. But at the same time, you want to improve that process. You want to avoid that error, that mistake to occur again in the future. And so the outcome of the audit trail review will be the basis to understand where you can improve your process. Maybe there is a step that I need to better detail, or maybe there is a missing step in my process that I need to develop, or maybe I need to perform more QC on my TMF because, you know, maybe it's a lack of QC that lead to that anomaly. So definitely any data around the audit trail review will help you to understand how to improve your process.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. And I'll let you, Donatella, go on with the remainder of your presentation.
Yes, I think that, you know, we can't talk about audit trail review without thinking about regulatory requirement, because some of the, let's say, concern that I have when I work with some company is that, but it's not required to review the audit trail. It's, you know, it's mandatory to have the audit trail, so a validated system that keep the audit trail of everything that happened, who did what, and so, but not to regulate. And no, it's not like that. It's really a regulatory requirement because just to give you some examples, so in the very famous, probably all of the people that are on the line today know the very famous guidance on TMF management of the 2018 issue by EMA, it was already, you know, in the past, in 2018, that they were asked to review the audit trail for eTMF. So for those that, you know, don't see the slides, here there is the paragraph talking about quality of trial master file. And they clearly state that area to consider during QC and review include the following. Obviously, all essential documents generated available in the TMF, documents filed in the appropriate location, documents added to the TMF in a timely manner, documents correctly indexed, document only accessible according to the assigned roles and permission, and review of the audit trail for eTMF. So already in that guidance, we have this requirement. And if you then go to next slide, Aviv, please. We have a more recent guidance, always issued by EMA in 2023, about the use of computerized system and electronic data in clinical trial. And there are, you know, very detailed paragraph about audit trail review. And I want to read this very specific paragraph because it's clearly an indication of what you have to do when it comes to audit trail review. So proceeding for risk-based trial-specific audit trail review should be in place. So this is the very first requirement. You need a procedure, a process, an SOP or a working instruction to perform a risk-based trial-specific audit trail. And performance of data review should be generally documented. So that review has to be documented. We know that if it's not documented, it happens. So the evidence must be kept. Data review should focus on critical data. Know that not every data is created equal, so some aspect of the TMF will be more critical and higher risk than other. Data review should be proactive, and ongoing review is expected unless justified. Manual review, as well as review by the use of technology to facilitate the review of larger data sets, should be considered. Data review can be used to, among others, identify missing data, detect signs of data manipulation, identify abnormal data outliers and data entered, at unexpected or inconsistent hours and dates. Individual data points, trial participants, sites. Identify incorrect processing of data. Detect unauthorized accesses. Detect device or system malfunction, and to detect if additional training is needed for trial participants, site staff, etc. So it's a very, let's say, complete paragraph about the requirement from EMA. And if you go to next slide, please.
A quick question, Donna, tell us. So you say some organizations, you see this as an absolute requirement. Some organizations don't see it that way. They see it potentially as a recommendation. Can you elaborate a little bit on where that disconnect is in their understanding and interpretation of the guidelines as to why there is two different schools of thought on, you know, how to approach audit trail review?
Yes, absolutely. Good question. Because this is a, let's say, a very common, discussion that we have with company. Because, for example, I just show you two guidelines for EMA. Now, for example, there is an FDA guidance issue in the past, in 2016, that is already asking for a audit trail review. But the common, question or anyway comment that I receive is, but my trial is not run in Europe. I just follow FDA rules, so I don't care about these guidance because it's just a European one. So basically, it's not an FDA requirement. This is one of the biggest mistakes that a company can do because if you have maybe probably someone of you has just recently joined the FDA, MHRA, and Health Canada symposium or GCP symposium last February, where they clearly say that all these competent authority, FDA, MHRA, Health Canada, but also other competent authority, are working very jointly, are working closely, especially when it comes to GCP inspection. So basically, they exchange information, they exchange experience, in TMF management, in GCP finding. So it's not just because that guidance was issued by EMA that, I don't care about that because it's EMA and my study is US-based. You need really to have a comprehensive and more holistic approach to regulation because competent authorities are talking to each other. Again, they share the finding, they share the experience. Sometimes the FDA inspector, they come and to assist an EMA inspection and they take, notes about the question, about what is checked. So don't, let's say, be limited in terms of what are the regulatory requirements, because these are also trends that are, issuing in the environment. And if you want to, let's say, have a more global regulatory reference, think about ICA GCP E6. And here I wanted to put R3, the version R3, even if it's not effective, it's still a draft one. But just to make you understand that also the global requirement is going in that direction. Audit trail now is something very important and crucial to ensure the data integrity in your clinical trial. So it's something that the competent authority, more and more, they are going to ask, they are going to verify, and maybe some guidelines will be more detailed than others. Some competent authorities still may be vague or anyway very general in terms of requirement, but it's something that is under, let's say, the focus of all the competent authorities. So when an inspection comes, you really need to be ready.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So, we've done a good job defining what an audit trail review is. We've done a good job of explaining why it's a critical part of your process. We've also determined that, it is a requirement as opposed to a recommendation. So how do we now fold this into the larger idea of TMF management? How does exploring the audit trails really impact your TMF management strategy?
Yes, perfect. As you said, audit trail obviously belongs to different clinical trial system, and one of these is eTMF. So when it comes to audit trail review in eTMF, this review can be used to verify several aspects of your TMF management. For example, user profile history. So what has changed for a particular user? You know, I was active today, but maybe in 1 month, I will be decommissioned because I will not be part of the study team anymore. So you can have data and information related to the study team that have access to your TMF. The time and the date a document was set to final, for example, because maybe you draft your document within the TMF, it goes through a review cycle and then it becomes final. So you've got the exact moment when the document will be final. Who participated in the life cycle of the document? Again, probably you do a QC, maybe you do a review, you do a signature in the system. So you can exactly see who were the team members that participate in the life cycle of the document. What step a document went through before being set to final? Again, if you decide and develop a workflow within the system, you can clearly see each step the document went during this life cycle, during this workflow. So you will see that it was drafty and then review, and then it became final, and then it became a PDF. So all these steps will be clearly indicated in the audit trail. You will see any issue or type of issue associated with the document. If there is a query on a document, what type of query, if the document was rejected, why it was rejected during a QC. So all these quality issue information. You will see documents that were deleted. This is something that is like a sort of a red flag for an inspector, you know, what was deleted just because it was a duplicate, or maybe because there were some confidentiality information, or it was an unblinded document. So all this kind of very important information. And you can also review access log, event log, query. So you have really all these register, I would say, of information within your TMF audit trail. And other things to consider when it comes to TMF audit trail review definitely is that you have to verify the event log. So it's important that your audit trail is exportable. I mean, you can extrapolate and download your audit trail for your system, and it must be in a very easy and readable and understandable format for anyone. Because, you know, if you download an Excel spreadsheet where you can't even understand, you know, the data within it, you can't review it. So it will be very challenging to demonstrate.
So that's my question, Donatelle. You talked about readable and understandable, and I was on mute there for a moment. How, you know, if your audit trail does come out in some sort of Excel export, how do you make it so that it is digestible and something that can be processed if it is not already? How do you interpret things that may be difficult to interpret in an audit trail?
Yes, absolutely. So we will see some, let's say, insight later, just to explain how to make this container more readable and understandable. Because as you said, if you think about a TMF audit trail, even if it is made in the easiest way, obviously it will be a container of thousand and thousand and thousand and thousand and thousand of data. So definitely to find the famous intruder in those, you know, thousand and thousand of data will be very challenging for everyone. So we will see later that when you develop the process for audit trail review, to define the purpose of that review will be very crucial, and I would say fundamental to even, you know, define the format and define the report that you want to extrapolate from the system. To go back to the things to consider, definitely when you check the audit trail, it's very important to verify that all the events contain the date, the date they occur, and the username of the person responsible for that particular action. It's very important to check that there are, let's say, no holes in the sequence of events. So let's think that I've got a draft document that must be through a review process before becoming final. I have to verify that that review step occurred. Check any critical operation, as I told you before, to delete a document that can detect, let's say, the attention of an inspection or inspector or an auditor. And so it's important to understand who perform that deletion, if it was someone with the right permission, and if there is a justification of that deletion. You can check the user that have restricted permission. If you think about a study with the blinded and unblinded team, it's important that obviously the team don't exchange access on, don't have access to the wrong documentation. Check any deleted document, so to verify if I have 100 deleted documents, they are all, let's say, retrievable in terms of who did the deletion and why the deletion occurred. Make a selection of documents which have a number version higher than 3.0, because you know, we know that inspector want to see the version history, and so it's important that if there are multiple versions of a document, also the previous version are readable, are accessible, and definitely there are, again, no holes in the sequence of the version. So in one word, check the document history. And I think that with the next slide, we are going to better answer your question.
Process-related question, yeah. So we understand kind of what are all the components, what is the best way to execute? What are the different steps that we need to put in place to make sure that we can execute these reviews properly and get the results that we need?
Yes, so I think that we can define the process as a step-by-step process. Very first one, obviously, define what you have to review. You can review the TMF audit trail, you can review the TMF document audit trail. If you can go just back to the previous slide, Aviv. Oh,
sorry.
Just thank you. Just to give you the overall, let's say, process. The second step will be define when to review. The third one will be to define how to document that particular review. And the last one, which is, in my opinion, very critical, is how to define the escalation pathway in case of issue and gaps. So now we can move to the next slide to see the very first step. So define what to review. As we discussed before, the TMF audit trail is a big amount of data. It's a big amount of information. So not all the TMF audit trail are created equal. You can... maybe you want to check the single document audit trail because you want to verify that the document went through the correct step of the workflow. Or maybe you want to verify the events at TMF level. So basically you want to verify if the TMF work in the right way, if you know, the sites were added in the right way, the new country, the protocol amendment. So you verify these, let's say, high-level particular action and events that occur in the system. Or maybe you want to verify your user access. So I think that when you extrapolate or when you analyze that particular report, you really need to understand the purpose of the review. Because you can review the single document, you can review the entire TMF, or you can have a loop to the user access, which is, you know, something very important to ensure the data integrity of your TMF. So based on that, obviously, you can better define what to extrapolate, how to extrapolate, and how to make that report more readable with the right information, with only the information that you are looking for that particular report. So, for example, you can verify that the document owners have uploaded the document in a timely manner because of the timeliness principle of TMF. You can verify that user roles change maybe not in the proper way during the study conduct. So, you know, I was active and as a CPM, and then I became a CTA, maybe then a CRA. So all these user profile during the study conduct. You can also verify the inactivity of a user profile. If I have a user that never accessed in 1 year to the ETMF, there's something wrong with that user. You can verify again the deletion of document. If in 1 day I delete 200 of documents, probably there is an issue in that TMF. And you can verify also that, you know, if you set up a specific review workflow for the documentation, if there is any step that is missing in that workflow. So maybe there was something wrong with the system, or maybe the workflow was not properly set up. So you can verify all these criteria and all this data. And based on that, you will develop the report that you need to verify.
And just one quick question, and I want to be conscious of time, but how do we define with authority what needs to be reviewed? So there's multiple things, and as you said, not everything is created equal. There's different scenarios where that could justify different reviews. How do you kind of triage what to review when reviewing the audit trail?
So you have to review all these aspects. So basically, you can't escape from verify the document of the trail review, but that will be part of your document you see. So it's something that obviously probably you will not do on a quarterly basis, but whenever you check the single document, you verify also the audit trail of the document to verify that, for example, a final version went through the exact steps of the workflow. The user access is something that, for example, you perform more on a regular basis. So it can be on a quarterly basis or maybe every 6 months. It depends, obviously, on the also turnover that you have internal to your company. If you know that your study team change team members every 3 months, probably you need to verify more frequently your user access. And in terms of TMF level, it depends on your study design. If you have a TMF that, you know, everything is very linear and standard, probably, again, the check can be reduced to 1-2 times per year. But if you have a TMF, maybe an adaptive trial that every 3 months change the INP dosage or the country or the site, so it's a very dynamic, let's say, situation, probably this check must be performed more frequently. Maybe during the cross-check or the oversight of your TMF must be, let's say, linked to an audit trail review of the entire TMF. So it depends definitely based on the situation that you are currently, but I think that all these three elements must be checked with different frequency, with different approach, but somehow this must be checked to ensure the data integrity that is required by inspector.
Yeah, and I think that ties into, you know, the step two is understanding when to review certain things. And exactly. you kind of answered that question, but I'll defer to you for a little bit more detail.
No, exactly, because it's clear the regulatory requirement, whenever guidance or regulation you are going to read, it's clear that this audit trail review have to be done on a regularly basis. And, you know, regularly basis, what does it mean? It means every day, it means every month. It's very, say, in general. And it's up to the sponsor and basically to the company to define the frequency of these activities. And obviously, once you have defined this frequency, you must written this frequency in your SOP or in your working instruction. And I think that for defining this frequency, you have to take into consideration the purpose that we have just discussed. So if you are going to check a single document of the trail or the entire TMF of the trail or maybe the user access of the trail and the risk. So I think that the risk is, you know, the criteria that is guiding us in our TMF management. And it's something that can really help us to understand, does it make sense that I check my audit trail review every month? Or maybe it's better, you know, to perform a better check every quarterly based, you know, of the update of my TMF, of all the events that occur in my TMF. So if I don't, you know, think about the consequences that can have on your TMF, on the quality of your TMF, if you don't perform this review on a regular basis, or maybe just, you know, I know some company that just say, okay, we will review the audit trail at the end of the trial. Oh my God. At the end of the trial, all those data, how can you also remediate to those issue and gaps if you identify those issue at the end of the trial? So define also the risk of not doing this activity during the trial.
So it sounds clear that without proper process, none of what we're talking about can be properly executed. And I think that ties in very well into your step three, which is really defining how a document, how to document the audit trail review. So perhaps a little bit of insight on exactly how we do that, how we document and track everything we've done.
Exactly, Aviv. I think that, if you have understood that audit trail review is a requirement, if you have understood that you have to develop and implement a process to review that audit trail, and maybe you're going to do that. Now it's time to document it. Otherwise, again, in case of inspection of audit, you will not have the evidence that you perform this review. And again, in terms of regulatory requirement, they say that this review can be manual or using technology. What is important is to have the evidence that these activities, this responsibility was done. And obviously the evidence then will be filled in your TMF in artifact 010101. So when it comes to, a manual evidence of this audit trail review, probably what we can suggest is to develop a checklist or a repo template that you can use every time that you perform this review. And it can be very easy, very basic. Just for example, if you are doing an audit trail review to verify who accessed the TMF, if the access was done with the right permission, with the right role, you can just, add a column in your report, say if there was any unauthorized access observed, yes or no. So something very easy, but that report, that checklist will really give the evidence that you did the you did your responsibility.
Okay, so I've done my job. I've done the review of the audit trail. I have all of this information. How do I then take that information and escalate and put some of the changes that need to be done into practice?
Yeah, I think, Aviv, that this step four is definitely the most critical one, because probably everyone on this call has understood, okay, I develop a process, I do my review, and I find the issue, I find the intruder. Well, the problem is that what does it happen when you find the intruder? So it will be very important that you have a communication process in place, which also means to have, the visualization of the data, of the outcome of your audit trail review. Because, it can be challenging for someone that is not used to do an audit trail review to receive a report with all this data, and probably this person will not understand, what is the message of this, long list, register of data with, time, date, action, what do you mean? So probably it's also the communication with, PowerPoint slides, dashboard, graphs, something that can send the message of the issue that you identify. And it's important to identify the relevant stakeholders. So to involve, if not maybe just the study team, maybe there are other other teams, other functions, like, for example, the quality assurance of your company. It's important to develop a root cause analysis. So, okay, I have identified the issue, the deficiency, the anomaly, but why that anomaly is there? Why it's just, a human error, it's a system error, what is there behind that anomaly? It's important to develop an impact assessment. So it's the deletion of 20 documents without a justification a high risk for my company, or maybe not. So do an impact assessment of what happened. Is the unauthorized access of a CTA to a study where she doesn't work a risk or not? So do this evaluation internally. And develop a CAPA plan, obviously, because you have the issue, so you need to fix the issue with a corrective and immediate action, and you need to prevent that issue to occur again. So maybe you need to update your SOP on user access management, because you realize that people with the wrong access and permission access the system or access the wrong study. So probably you need to redefine and redesign your process. And maybe, who knows, you can even evaluate to close the cycle, to stop the study, if you identify big anomalies that can cause you know, bad consequences on the data integrity of your TMF. So all these evaluation must be done once you have, let's say, identified the issue after the audit trail review.
Okay. So before we move on to the next slide, you know, we've defined what the most ideal steps are for putting this in place. Where do you see as the failure point for a lot of organizations that are trying to implement a more defined audit review process? Where do you see things breaking down most often for organizations?
So very often, Aviv, what we see with company is that when they develop, for example, the TMF QC or TMF oversight SOP, I mean, the process to verify the quality of your TMF, audit trail review is not included. So I think that the very big gap at the beginning of this requirement is that companies are not yet ready to include this step of the process within their process, within their SOP or work instruction. And this is the very first and very common scenario. And the second scenario is, yes, maybe they know that they do to develop and implement this audit trail review, but they really don't know how. So they don't know what to download. They don't know how to download. They don't know, you know, how to track this review and how to document. So definitely they need guidance in developing the process, you know, doing some example with them, try to educate them to see that something is an anomaly rather than something is the standard process that you can escape. Is to educate them that, again, some data are not relevant for the implementation of an audit trail review. Some other are very relevant. So I think that I would say that the challenge that they are facing is the same that companies are facing to implement a risk-based approach. We can say that there are the two scenarios. People in company that they don't know that it's a requirement, or maybe they, you know, just try to escape for the moment about this requirement. And they know that it's a requirement, but they really don't know where to start. And so at the end, it's really, you know, a matter of try to help them to develop this process that can be definitely very specific and unique, because you know, it depends on the design of your trial, on the organizational model that you have. So it's something very specific. And at the end of the day, we don't have, you know, standard approach guided by the industry or by the regulatory requirement. They just say, we want to see your audit trail review process in place that must be written, done, and documented. This is the requirement. All the rest, how you do that, you know, maybe with the help of a magic box or something like that, up to you.
But it definitely sounds like, you know, the two criteria are for the organization to reframe how they look at audit trail reviews from a nice to do to a must do. And I think on top of that, it's also important for the organization to be committed and invested in making this part of their process.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if some of the people on the line had the chance to attend the symposium, the GCP symposiums last February, but, you know, there was an entire session or even two that talk about all the issue identify during inspection through audit trail review. So, and if you don't perform this review, the inspector will do, and they will find the issue and gaps that probably you were not even thinking about. If you never,
and are you able to give any examples of some of the things that may not arise in a standard review that will only arise from a audit trail review?
I mean, there are thousands and thousands of examples. And if you have a look to that symposium, there will be real example for real company. But at the end, obviously, they realized that there were data that were, I will not say falsified, but, you know, manipulated. There was no real, you know, information about the user access. For example, there were user access at late in the night, which is, if you start to enter documents at midnight, probably there is a problem with you or with your organization, because, there are so many, let's say, data within the audit trail that really can help you to understand if everything is going wrong, going right in compliance with the requirement and in compliance with your process, or if there is something that is an anomaly. Again, if there is an intruder, something that, should not happen. For example, if you think, again, to blind and unblind study, I think during the entire TMF life cycles, it is important to keep, these two groups separated. So it's important to verify that for any reason, maybe even for a system error, anyone can have access to unblinded document. So it's something that you can check very easily through an audit trail. And it's something that you can ensure at the end of the trial, yes, the user accessed the right documents for the entire TMF, so the unblinded was not corrupt.
Yeah, I think ultimately whatever gives you more actionable intelligence is going to be an asset, both from a process perspective as well as ultimately from a financial perspective. And the less you can figure out on your own before you have an auditor or inspector bring it up is always a nice asset to have. I want to transition to what is probably a burning topic, which is AI for audit trails. I think everyone on this planet has been hearing the words AI ad nauseum, but perhaps Donatella, share a little insight into how AI is going to impact how we move forward with audit trail reviews.
Yes, so I think that, I think AI, obviously, it's a very hot topic in the environment, in the entire world. I say yes. And I think that, AI is very common when it comes to TMF. We think about, the AI that will help me to index automatically all the documents, because lots of people consider boring, to upload a document, to apply the metadata. So to have someone that can do that for you, so you can focus on other activities of TMF, is definitely a benefit. But I think that AI can definitely help in something like audit trail review, because again, we discuss about the fact that this is a challenge to review that par amount of data, thousands of data. Sometimes, it's really, like a sort of, okay, I close everything in, I close in my room with this report on my desktop, and I try to find the intruder, but it can take hours and times and days to do something like that. So if you can have a technological tool that can detect immediately an anomaly. So, if you say, okay, I'm going to train my AI to verify that all the document must go through a review step, or let's say two review steps. And so please detect any document in my TMF that didn't go through a review step. It will be so easy. It will be so fast. You will have you will skip, let's say, the boring step of checking all these aspects, and you will have the data. So AI will help you, because AI will do the boring part, and you will have the funny part of, okay, I've got the data. So now are these good data in my hands? Because they say that, yes, my TMF is special ready. I have no compliance. I have no issue. Or maybe, no, this data confirms that I have an issue. I have a gap in my process. I have a gap in my user access. And so now I have to define a strategy, a corrective action, and a preventive action, and try to involve other stakeholders about these gaps. So I think that definitely AI will not replace, the person in charge of doing a QC or a review, but it will definitely support this review, because AI will be able to check more documents than a human being, obviously, and will immediately give you, or if not immediately, in a shorter term, the data that you need. So I think that, again, Yes, it would be very helpful to have AI to index document and apply metadata automatically. But also the trail review, I think that can be something where an AI intelligence can help us to improve the outcome.
So clearly AI is just one of the three pillars. You need to have the right people in place. You need to have the right processes in place. And only then can we really maximize the output of AI.
Indeed. Yeah, exactly.
And Donatella, I know we're running out of time here. Any closing thoughts on the audit trail review that you want to share with our listeners and viewers today?
Develop a process, an SOP for the trail review, please. And don't forget to develop that process. I know it will be challenging, but believe me that it will be really helpful to detect those issues before an inspector comes. So don't be afraid. Probably the very first time that we do the review, it will not be perfect. You can fix always and improve your process, but start to do this step to improve the quality of your TMS. It's really important.
All right, so just get started and optimize and pivot as you move forward, I think, is the overall message.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, Donatella, that has been an extremely informative session. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I do want to remind our viewers that we have now opened registration for TMF Week. This is now going in our fifth year of the TMF Week, which is the largest online TMF conference on the planet, if not the galaxy. So the registration starts now. It's going to be held between June 10th and the 14th. And we are giving a free pass away to the CDISC US TMF interchange. So if you like to play golf and learn about TMF, this is really a great opportunity for you. And just a final note before I let everyone get back to their day. On Wednesday, June 12th, we are going to be providing everyone with what we like to call our bonus episode for season two. And that's going to be happening during TMF week. So something that you surely do not want to miss moving forward. And last but not least, don't worry, this is not our last podcast. We are going to be coming back. Season three is well in the works, and you're going to be hearing from us in the summer. So again, thank you, everyone. And it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Donatella. We really appreciate
it. Thanks to you, Aviv. And thanks, everyone, for attending. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The State of TMF. If you liked today's episode, hit the subscribe button, view the full episode with video on YouTube, and follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook to see the sometimes entertaining and always resourceful content we post every single day. See you in May for episode 8.